It's game day. And this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we kick off the post-split fixtures. Livingston's relegation could be confirmed against Ross County, with St Johnston, Hibs and Aberdeen Motherwell playing a big part in the bottom six. Hearts are out to secure third, but they have fourth place Kilmarnock to get past. And of course on to the title race tomorrow, with Rangers going to St Mirren and Celtic travelling to Dundee. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
The menu today has lions and staggies, the cabbage and ribs. Jam tarts and sainties, they're playing the Hibs. Killy didn't fit the rhyme because they play on plastic. But it's Europe and survival, it's going to be fantastic. Dazzler and the mushroom, Gordon and me, the sun is shining brightly, the kickoff's at three. Go ahead then. Go ahead then.
Someone's had too much time in their hands this morning.
Somebody's been in here since 6:30 this morning.
I come in early, and he was an hour and a half in before.
I don't mind it at all.
Do you know what happened? I got up this morning, the sun was shining, I thought I'll go to the supermarket. It takes me 20 minutes to walk there and 20 minutes to walk back. So with a 40 minute walk, and I thought, the menu today has lions and staggies, the cabbage and ribs, jam tarts and sainties.
Don't need to repeat it again. You got it the first time. Yeah, it was good. It was really good. Just don't milk it. It's brilliant. Anyway, it is a big day of football, as he has so eloquently put.
Yeah, oh, without doubt. I mean, we're into the definitive part of the season now, and I know all eyes tomorrow will be on Celtic and Rangers because it's the top end of the table in the Championship. But bottom end of the table, Livingston have limped on for a long time, and today could finally be the day that their fate is sealed. You look at Hearts v Killy as well. What a game. You know, I know we all think Hearts have got third place sewn up, and they probably will have, but Derek McInnes will certainly want to prove that they're every bit as good, especially at Rugby Park. And St Johnston, Hibs, I mean, you look at Hibs this season. Is it time for another rebuild at Hibs? Well, Nick Montgomery won't think so. He'll want to go there and get a result. And Aberdeen v Motherwell, well, they had their player of the year dance the other night. Can some of the players show some of the attitude and ability that they showed last week when Motherwell visit? A good day of football all round.
Let's work our way through them, Gordon Dalziel. There's a lot at stake. That's why we love this time of the season, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, of course there's a lot at stake. You're looking at some really, really important fixtures. Aberdeen and Motherwell, I don't think Motherwell will be dragged into it, but if Motherwell could go up and win at Pittodrie today and results go elsewhere, all of a sudden Aberdeen, who come in for a lot of plaudits last weekend against Celtic, could be dragged right into this relegation battle. But can I also say, and the boys, I can't believe never picked it up, congratulations to Dundee United, champions last night, a 0-0 draw at Airdrie. So Jim Goodwin and everyone concerned there.
Ah, they got their congratulations
last week.
Yeah. It was all but done, wasn't it?
They weren't the title winners last week. Last night it was secured. Don't start, Mark.
You're a stickler for the rules. Yes. That's the thing we love about you. You're always just keen for accuracy. Let's start going round the grounds. We'll work our way from top to bottom, if you like, or as near as top as we can get today. Kilmarnock against Hearts is a cracker. Roger Hanna is in the Ayrshire Sunshine.
Yes, indeed, Gordon, and it is the only Premiership top six game today, with Celtic and Rangers both in action on Sunday. This is fourth versus third in the sunshine at Rugby Park, as you say. Hearts clear in third place, 11 points ahead of Kilmarnock, with just five games left. They can secure group stage European football today with a win in Ayrshire, and that would be the second time in 3 years Hearts have managed that. What a bonus that would be after the pain of that Scottish Cup semi-final defeat to Rangers at Hampden last weekend. Stephen Naismith back at Rugby Park, where it all began, and he brings a very strong record with him, unbeaten in four games against his old club this season, including wins here in the Premiership and also in the League Cup, and two draws at Tynecastle. So the bedrock for Hearts season, Lauren Shanklin, the captain, 21 Premiership goals and a candidate, of course, for Player of the Year. Kilmarnock, they haven't played since a 2-0 win at St Johnston a fortnight ago. Only one defeat in the last 2 months, and they're now 8 points clear of 5th place St Mirren and 11 clear of 6th place Dundee. in the push for Europe. They can all but secure a return to continental competition today for the first time since Angelo Alessio and Connors Key Nomads all those years ago. They don't have a 21-goal striker. Very much goals spread around. 9 for Marley Watkins, 8 for the skipper Kyle Vassell, and 6 for Danny Armstrong this season. And there's interesting team news down at Rugby Park here, Gordon. Both managers making changes and both also altering their formations for this game today. Kilmarnock, one change from the side that won at Perth. Robbie Dees comes back in for David Watson, and that means a return to 4-4-2 for Kilmarnock. It's Will Dennis in goal. At the back, Joe Wright, Lewis Mayo, Stuart Finlay and Robbie Dees. Midfield, Danny Armstrong, Liam Donnelly, Liam Polworth and Matty Kennedy. And up top, it is Vassell and Watkins. On the bench, O'Hara, Watson and Ndaba, Mackay, Stephen, Lyons and McKenzie, Van Veen, Murray and Cameron. As for Hearts, three changes from that 2-0 semi-final defeat. There's also a change to a 3-4-2-1. Wing-backs Dexter Lembikisa and Alec Cochran come in for Nat Atkinson and Alan Forrest. And the big team news, flagged up by Naismith yesterday, in comes Xander Clark for Craig Gordon. Two goalkeepers vying for the gloves at club level and possibly vying for a place in Steve Clark's squad at the Euros this summer. But it is Clark who's missed the last two games who returns. He's in goal. It's a back three of Stephen Kingsley, Frankie Kent and Kai Rowles. Across the middle, Dexter Lembikisa, Benny Beningame, Cammy Devlin and Alec Cochran, with Kenneth Vargas and George Grant just behind Shankland. On the bench, Gordon, Oda and Forrest, Mackay, Sibbick and Denham, Tate, Fraser and Tagawa. The referee is Ross Hardy. The VAR is Greg Aiken. And I think this is game of the day, Gordon.
Yes, looking forward to it, absolutely. And I suppose Roger Hannah, Hearts have been there so long, it almost like becomes people expecting it to be a formality. Finishing third should be a good achievement. It should be a feather in the cap for Stephen Naismith. But they've just been there for so long, it's almost getting overlooked.
Yeah, they have. They've been there so long, and Kilmarnock have been in fourth place for so long. I think, regardless of the outcome down here today, that's how they'll finish. They will both return to European competition, and they'll both deserve it because they have developed. Stephen Naismith, he had a little wobble about autumn time. Some of the Hearts fans didn't appear convinced by him, but he has won them over. They are well clear. Shanklin's playing extremely well. He's getting good things out of a number of people. I think Frankie Kent's been a good signing at the back. Benny Beningame is coming back to form and fitness in the middle of the park. And Kenneth Vargas looks a decent addition as well, up front supporting Shankland. They deserve to be third. And Kelly, I would say, deserve to be fourth. We talk about Shankland as a player of the year candidate. What about Derek McInnes as manager of the year? Not that long, long ago they were in the championship, Gordon. He's brought them up. He's consolidated. He's built a fantastic squad here. I mean, they're a very strong bench this afternoon, and that's even without the likes of Greg Stewart, who misses out today from that squad. So he's really built it strongly. They deserve to be fourth, and I'm looking forward to a really good game between them today.
Yeah, should be a cracker. Let's work our way down then. There are a few, obviously, the other fixtures all bottom six. What about Aberdeen Motherwell, Dave Galloway?
Well, after a very impressive performance last weekend, Gordon, in taking Celtic right to the wire in a thrilling Cup semi-final, which Aberdeen will show up today? That is the big question. They've been so inconsistent and unpredictable this season and sit 5 points ahead of the relegation playoff place. Starting this afternoon, the Dons have two home games back-to-back as they try to avoid being dragged into a dogfight. Can they take advantage, though? Motherwell come to Pittodrie in decent form, and a controversial loss to Aberdeen in Lanarkshire is their only defeat in the last six matches. Their recent record on the road is actually very good, with three victories in a row, including one against Rangers. And how they'd love to get their first triumph over Aberdeen in this campaign as they strive to finish top of the bottom six. Looking at the teams then, and just the one change for Aberdeen, no huge surprise there. It's Junior Hoylett coming in for Duke. So Keller Roos in goals, back four for the Dons of Nicky Devlin, Stefan Gartenman, Angus McDonald and Jack McKenzie, Conor Barron and Dante Polvara, the sitting midfielders. Then we have Junior Hoylett, Leighton Clarkson and Jamie McGrath playing behind the main striker, Bojan Miovski. Subs for the Dons: Duin, Jensen, Duke, Hayes, Phillips, Sockler, Duncan, Milne, and Rubisic. Motherwell, well, they are unchanged this afternoon. So Liam Kelly in goals, a back three of Dan Casey, Paul McGinn and Shane Blaney. Midfield, Stephen O'Donnell, Davor Dravkovsky, Lennon Miller and Georgie Gent, with Blair Spittle playing off Jack Vale and Theo Bear in attack. The subs today for the Steelmen: Oxborough, Mugabe, Halliday, Shaw, Nicholson, Ebiye, Ferry, Wells and Butcher. Match referee Craig Napier on VAR duties today. It's Grant Irvin.
Another one to look forward to then. What about St Johnstone, Hibs, David Friel?
Yeah, Gordon, the cabbage and ribs have arrived in Perth. A really intriguing game here. You've got St Johnstone fighting for their lives, fighting for survival at the bottom. But then the opposite dugout, you've got Nick Montgomery, I think it's fair to say, fighting to keep his job as Hibs boss. There's a lot of doom and gloom about his club just now. Montgomery spoke out yesterday, declared he was the man to get them back on track after a pretty miserable campaign. He claimed the board's recent statement, which, let's face it, amounted to a vote of no confidence in him, came at an emotional time at the club after they failed to make the top six. But I think it's fair to say, Gordon, when the Hibs board declare the season unacceptable and launch a review into the best way forward and where he's the best man to take them forward, it's clear that Nick Montgomery is under major pressure. They want him to deliver wins, and if he doesn't do that today and in the coming weeks, I think you really have to fear for him. They've only got one win in their last six, and this is a really tough game against a St Johnstone team clearly desperate to avoid that relegation playoff. Craig Levine's got a good record against Hibs recently. They beat Hibs here in December. They won Easter Road just 3 weeks ago, and I think they will fancy their chances against the inconsistent visitors. As I say, St Johnstone are still in deep trouble. They're only 1 point above Ross County in 10th place and clearly also need to get wins on the board. Craig Levine's made three changes from their defeat to Kilmarnock 2 weeks ago. David Kielton's, Max Churiavi and Tony Gallagher are all out, with Liam Gordon, Fran Franchik and Graham Carey in. So St Johnstone, it's going to be a 3-5-2 formation. Dimitar Mitov, Ryan McGowan, Andy Considine, Liam Gordon at the back. Middle five looks like Matt Smith, Fran Franchik, Dan Phillips, Graham Carey and Luke Robinson, with Nicky Clark and Adama Sidibe up front. Subs for St Johnstone are Richards, May, McPherson, Wright, Kucharavi, Olafunwa, Kimpioka, Keltons and Connor Smith. As for Hibs, just one change from that damaging draw at Motherwell last time out. Adam Lafondra comes in for the injured Eli Yuan. He doesn't even make the bench. He apparently picked up a knock in training yesterday. So it looks like a 4-2-3-1 for Hibs. David Marshall in goals, back four of Chris Cadden, Will Fish, Rocky Bashiri and Jordan Abita. Nathan Mariah Welsh, Joe Newell will hold the midfield, with Martin Boyle, Emiliano Marcondes, Mizian, Maiolida and Adam Lafondra as that front four. Subs for Hibs are Wallacott, Hanlon, Levitt, Venti, Mayenda, Stevenson, Triantis, Jared Tavares and Campbell. The referee at McDermott Park is David Minot and the VAR is Stephen McLean.
What does this look like for Nick Montgomery then, David Friel? Because you're right, that statement said that, you know, performances, results hadn't been good enough and things had to improve. Does that mean he can save his job in five games against bottom six opposition, or is this a matter of time? What's your interpretation of it?
I'm not convinced he can save his job now, Gordon. I think the statement, the tone of the statement and everything was in it suggests to me that Hibs are actively looking at where a new manager is the best way forward. I don't think you can base, you know, a manager's future at the club on whether he beats, with all due respect, you know, St Johnstone, Livingston and Ross Counties of this world. I think Hibs have a real big decision to make. I don't think they can let it linger over the summer. I think if they're going to make a change, they have to make it in the coming weeks. You saw what happened with Lee Johnson last year. He got the summer, he got the transfer window, and then they sacked him within weeks of the new season. I think with the investment coming from Bill Foley and his group, I think if I was Nick Montgomery, I'd be seriously concerned about keeping my job right now.
It's an interesting one, that, Hugh, that statement. I remember it broke on air one night when we were here with Marvin Bartley, big Hibs man, of course, and More questions than answers, possibly.
Bill Foley's put £6 million into the club. He is clearly intent on the root and branch inspection of what's going on there. And the bottom line is, Nick Montgomery has had 8 wins out of 29 league matches since becoming Hibs manager. It's amateur psychology time, but for me, he has a charisma bypass. He is not the kind of man who is going to lead a club as big as Hibs in a town where Hearts are third and Neil Don third, and they're going into Europe. It's not good enough, and he'll be back in Ramsey Street in Australia shortly.
Well, tell us what you really think.
His neighbours.
A charisma bypass.
He's still there to be a stand-up comedian. Doesn't matter if he's a bit. Aberdeen are getting the most boring man in Sweden, apparently, as their manager next.
And, you know, Stephen Naismith is nobody's idea of a song and dance man either.
He's just slaughtering everybody now.
But what has this son done to you this morning?
No, it's fine. I'll motor on. He's not successful. And Bill Foley is looking at a man and thinking, he's not going to make us successful. And, you know, a defeat today would be the final nail in the coffin. But I think he could only survive, I think, if he wins 3 or 4 of the last 5 matches.
Even at that though, Mark, that's the bit I was getting to with David Friel. Can you save your job against 5 of the bottom 6 team, so what if he wins a couple of them? That is deemed good enough.
I really don't think you can.
It seems strange, doesn't it?
Because what point have you proven then? The time for Nick Montgomery has been and gone, unfortunately for him. Now, we've discussed it many times in this show. Hibs entertaining going forward, but serious problems at the back, and it's up to the coach to fix that, even with the personnel that he's got, and he hasn't done it. So you're right in saying if he has to go and beat St Johnson today and Ross County and Livingston, is Bill Foley sitting back and going, that's our man, he's now shown us? Of course not, because the league is weighted this way. You're playing all the worst teams, of course. So I'm with David Friel on this one. I think if I was Nick Montgomery, I'd be fearful of my job in the summer.
And we've been used to Livingston in the top flight for many seasons now, but it could be set to end pretty soon. Ross County, the visitors today. Adam Binney is there.
Thank you, Gordon, and good afternoon from the Tony Macaroni Arena. This may be the opening day of post-split fixtures, but come 5 o'clock, we could have our first relegation confirmed. The permutations are simple. If Livingston lose to Ross County today, then they will be relegated to the Scottish Championship. Any other result means that they will hang on to their Premiership status for at least one more week. So Livy's fate has pretty much already been decided. Relegation feels inevitable, but the same can't be said for their opponents, Ross County. They occupy the 11th place relegation playoff spot, but seem to have enjoyed a mini resurgence since Don Cowie replaced Eric Adams. A win today would not only sink Livingston, but if other results go their way, could take them out of the playoff spot or even drag Aberdeen right into the mire. The Staggies will of course be hoping to back up last weekend's performance, which saw them beat Rangers for the very first time in their history. So unsurprisingly, they make no changes to that team. It's Ross Laidlaw in goal, a back five of Mischa Fetty, Connor Randall, Jack Baldwin, Ryan Leek and George Harmon. A box midfield of Eli King, Victor Latoury, Jan Danda and Josh Sims, with a lone striker, Simon Murray. The substitutes are Ross, Brown, Henderson, Keller, Jenks, White, Brophy, Aina and Reid. Just the one change for the hosts, as Bruce Anderson comes in to replace the suspended Teddy Yenge up front for Livy. They go with Shamal George in goal, a back four of Michael Nottingham, Ayo Obalai, Michael Devlin and Sean Kelly, Jamie Brandon and Jason Holt just sitting in front of the back four, with a three of Scott Pittman, Stephen Kelly and Daniel Mackay behind Bruce Anderson up front. Their subs are Hamilton, Carson, Bradley, Sangari, Guthrie, Ledingham and Sharp. The referee is Willie Collum and the VAR is Gavin Duncan.
Looking forward to it. Livingston fans will hope they can produce something miraculous, but it's not looking likely, it has to be said. Those are your 4 Premiership games, big games down the divisions as well, and we'll take a look back at some of the week's biggest talking points next.
As it happens, and your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are in the studio. We've got the top team round the grounds as we build up to a huge day of post-split fixtures. It is the first round of post-split fixtures, lots to look forward to up and down the league. At this stage on a Saturday, we tend to pause for breath and reflect on some of the week's biggest talking points. On that regard, I feel like it's been quite a quiet week. I don't think there's been too much debate, too much to reflect on, too much to argue over. So what about Roger Hannah, the title race? Where does it sit now? Who's said what this week? Who's had what injury boost? Who's had what injury blow? What's happened this week in the title race without them even playing?
Well, certainly been a lot of shadow boxing, a lot of chat after the two cup semi-finals, two victorious cup semi-finals to set up that blockbuster final at Hampden on the 25th of May. Celtic, of course, are in pole position for the league. They've got the 3-point gap, they've got a superior goal difference. They received the boost through the week of Dyson Midas super quick return to fitness with that hamstring injury. He won't feature at Dens tomorrow. Could well be back next weekend to take on Hearts at Celtic Park, and that is a great tonic for Brendan Rodgers. They weren't great against Aberdeen last Saturday, but they get through the game. They are shedding goals. He knows he'll need to tighten that up before the run-in. He knows Dens Park won't be easy, as Rangers found to their cost in midweek before the split, before those semi-finals, Gordon. So it is nicely balanced. I think the majority of people would say Celtic are favourites, but I don't think it's over.
Not a chance it's over, Roger. Both had, for me, shoddy performances in the Cup last weekend. But now we're at a stage where you cannot have lightweight performances in a heavyweight contest. We have the five games to play. Paisley and Dundee tomorrow. A very intriguing start for the pair of them. Any slip up and you could be in deep bother. I've just watched Liverpool draw 2-2 with West Ham, and they're all going off practically in tears because they know the league is a goner for them now. That's the way it is up here for Celtic and for Rangers.
Yeah, and I suppose, David Friel, it might come down to who gets a little bit of luck injury wise going into the final stretch. Of course, the league table doesn't lie and all that stuff, and the best team will deserve to win it when it's all said and done. But as we head into this final stretch, Celtic about to bring Daizen Maeda back much earlier than expected. On the flip side, no Abdallah Sima for a couple of weeks for Rangers, so you wonder how crucial those pieces of information could be.
Yeah, Gordon, I mean, it's clear you want your best players and your most devastating attacking players available. I actually think the Sima injury is a real blow for Rangers. You know, he was out for such a spell after the African Cup of Nations. He came back, looked really, really good. I felt he changed the game when he came on against Celtic in the Ibrox. I thought he gave Greg Taylor a torrid time down that right side. I think he also was probably Rangers' brightest spark at Dens Park in that game as well. And I think to lose him at such a crucial stage of the season is a bit of a blow for Philip Clement. You know, Ross McCausland's done well, but he's still a young player. Scott Wright probably hasn't convinced when he's come in. So I suppose it depends who he wants to play on either flank. But Rangers, remember, I've got Oscar Cortez out as well, as and Danilo. So Rangers don't have that many options in attack. I think for Daizen Maeda, you know, I think everybody expected him to miss the rest of the season. Brendan Rodgers said it publicly, speaking to people in and around Celtic, they didn't expect to see him back, but his powers of recovery are clearly quite incredible. And if he can play any role at all, especially against Rangers, where he's so, you know, so he has been so successful against James Taverney, it's going to give Celtic a huge boost for the title race.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, Daizen Maeda, who would have thought it back so soon for Celtic? That's been one of the big personnel talking points of the week.
Well, it is huge because he's a big player for the club. But when you've seen Ange Postecoglou bring him in, you now see Brendan Rodgers. He's a first pick in that position. Very rarely do you see Daizen Maeda fully fit and sitting on the bench for Celtic. So goes to show you he's a huge part of Brendan Rodgers' plans. And will he be the real pivotal point in this title race? Maybe. I don't know, Daz disagreed with that, but I think in the big game against Rangers, he's so important at either end of the pitch, which way you're going. From an attacking point of view, he's certainly scored goals in that fixture, but nullifying the threat from Rangers is going to be massive on the day, so he plays a big part in that. And I think all Celtic fans would have just been, you know, resigned to losing him for the rest of the season, but it's a huge boost. But I think with these games coming up, I think you can group them into these two coming up for both of them. Celtic tomorrow at Dens, Rangers at St Mirren, followed by Kilmarnock and Hearts for the pair of them. Just get those two out of the way. 6 points will do for both managers. Then you go into the big one, and whichever way the results fall on that will give us a better idea of where we stand. And then the final couple of games. So take them in groups and see where you fall on that. But tomorrow is the start of it. It's going to be huge. But two tough games, and I don't think it's going to be as easy as everybody thinks for both of them.
Psychologically speaking, Maeda coming back for the Rangers game is very important for Celtic because it gives Tavernier something to really think about. However, you have to get this weekend's games out of the way first, and I think in the wide positions, Celtic are lightweight, and I think it's time to stop messing about with Yang and get James Forrest in from the start. Kuhn will come and go, and we'll see how his temperament is when it's not at Celtic Park, it's at Dens Park. But I think Yang last week, once again, showed that in this environment he's not up to it.
He flatters to deceive, there's no doubt about that. Maeda comes back, gives him good options, because I think we all now agree that James Forrest isn't just there to take up a seat in the bench. He can contribute. You've seen that last week. He came on, got his goal. I thought he was excellent. Bit of sharpness about him. Palmer has come back for fitness. That's an option. Maeda, when he comes back again. I know what you were saying about Yang. He's still learning the game here. You see him 1 week and you think, yep, okay, he's got something. Then the following week, he's all over the place and people are probably after 25 minutes shouting to get him substituted. But you're better getting into these run of fixtures with your full squad. And Celtic seem to... they're getting that there. I agree with David Friel. I think Seema at Rangers is a massive miss to them this running.
It's been such, sorry Conor, I was going to say, it's been such an important part this season, both medical teams, because when you look at key personnel for Rangers and Celtic, it have missed large chunks of the season and at different times. And at one point you thought, well, Celtic's obviously hampered by Hitati, been out for so long, and the others that were injured alongside him, Carter Vickers in and out. And were they going to come back at a crucial time? Same with Rangers with Seema. And even Cortez going away, you know, big injury problems there. But Daz is right. At this point, Celtic, certainly with their influential players, seem to be getting them back, while Rangers have lost a couple. And that could be the telling factor come the end of the season.
I don't know if it's quite mind games, Roger Hanna, or it's just both managers trying to get their message across, but it's been a fascinating week on that front as well. Brendan Rodgers leaning very much into the trophy winning experience that Celtic have, talks about them getting their trophy heads on at this time of the season. And in the blue corner, Philippe Clement reminding everyone just how good Rangers' record has been since he came in, better than Celtic's in fact. He was very quick to point out yesterday, is the psychology an important part of this running?
Without doubt, and there are big prizes there for the two managers and the two teams, Gordon. I mean, Rangers could still win a domestic treble, which would be an astonishing achievement given where they were when Michael Beale was sacked and Philippe Clement came in October time. Celtic could win another double, and after the defeat down here at Kilmarnock in the League Cup earlier in the season, after the defeat here in Kilmarnock in the league earlier in the season, you wouldn't necessarily have thought that was on the cards either. So if this is the time of the season when those Celtic players get their trophy heads on, they'll need to screw them on a little bit tighter than they were at Hampden against Aberdeen last weekend. And for Rangers, they have it all to prove that they can handle post-split fixtures, they can handle a title run-in, and most importantly, that they can beat Celtic, because they haven't beaten Celtic this season. They haven't beaten Celtic in a meaningful game for an awful long time. If Rangers are to win silverware in the rest of this season, they might need to beat Celtic twice.
Yeah, because Philippe Clement's one of those statements that's just factually correct. And if you're able to take a step back and take a deep breath, Roger Hanna, you may be able to appreciate that it does just show a sign of progress and how far they've come. But who's got time to take a step back and take a deep breath in the heat of a title race? And they're even the Rangers fans aren't that interested right now in that. They just want to get this job done.
No, the Rangers fans on the long drives home from Dingwall and Dundee weren't sitting in the back of the bus saying, I'll tell you what, we've come a long way since Philippe Clement took the job. You know, they were bemoaning an opportunity lost with those five dropped league points away to Ross County in the defeat, away to Dundee in that dreadful 0-0 draw. So they're not looking at the big picture, they're looking at the here and now. The here and now is they could have been ahead of Celtic at this point, but they're not. So they've a bit of catching up to do. They will need to win at St Mirren tomorrow lunchtime to put a bit of pressure on Celtic going to Dens Park at 3 o'clock. And for me, they probably need to win all six games that are remaining this season.
Yeah, that could be the case. But it's now a fascinating contest of mental will. You know, the psychology of it all. The players at Celtic, for example, that we've talked about, Kuhn and Palma and Yang, can they really live with this? That's why I think James Forrest, 22 trophies at Celtic, that's why I think he's important. Into the mix at Rangers, you also have this speculation about James Tavernier and possibly Conor Goldson being lined up for the Saudi Pro League with Steven Gerrard. You know, how much is that affecting their mindset at the moment? Or are they able to say, yeah, let's go out with a treble and then we can happily leave the club behind and go somewhere else for another experience? So for me, starting tomorrow, 12:30 on a Sunday. It's always, you know, it didn't work for Rangers in Dingwall. It's an awkward time, and they're playing a St Mirren side who have a big support behind them and who are thrilled by the prospect of getting into Europe. So it's a big test. And then Celtic will know what's in front of them, because they'll kick off after Rangers are finished, and they'll need to have the temperament to handle that pitch, Tony Docherty, who's galvanised Dundee, and Dundee, who have achieved big time by getting into the top six in the first place, and who now dare to dream of Europe. Tomorrow is the big picture.
What does your gut tell you about Conor Goldson and James Tavernier at this stage, Roger Hannah? Philippe Clement said yesterday he does expect them to be Rangers players next season. I've seen it said, and understandably that's pretty much all he was ever going to say. He's hardly going to tell everyone what time their flights are booked for. What do you think?
I tend to think they will still be at Rangers next season, and not really just because they had to say that. They've both got 2 years left in their deals, and also there will be an awful lot of players leaving Rangers this summer. A lot of out of contract, you know, John Lindstrom and Borna Barisic already linked with moves away and their freedom of contract. Ryan Jack's contract's up, John McLaughlin. There's all the loan players you need to look at. What's happening with Sima and Silva and Cortez? I'm sure Diomande will stay. There are other fringe players that will go out as well. Wouldn't surprise me to see the likes of Scott Wright and people like that leaving the club this summer. There's always talk about Ridvan Yilmaz wanting to return to continental football. So if you think all or the vast majority of those players are leaving, everybody can't go. Balogun, he's another who contracts up. Ben Davis hasn't really been made a big impact, so you really can't see them clearing out, you know, 17 or 18 players. I think it might go into double figures, the ones going, the ones I've mentioned there just now. And for that reason, I just can't see Tavernier and Goldson being added to that list at all. He's going to need some players from this season to take them into next season and then build round that core.
Even if the price was right?
Listen, I suppose everyone has their price, and if Steven Gerrard and Aleti Fak or anyone else for that matter came calling for the two players, I am sure Philippe Clement and the Rangers board would consider the offers. But there haven't been many offers, if any offers, for Tavernier and his 8 or 9 years at the club, for Goldson and his 6 years at the club. That's why they're still there, and I would anticipate they'll still be there next season.
It's funny, because we're so wrapped up in the title race, David Friel, there's not been loads of time to speculate about who will or won't be where next season. But I noticed last night, even when we were on air, the Twitter rumour mill was turning about John Lundstrom and whether it's Turkish football for him next season. Philippe Clement yesterday talking about having a, you know, an offer there for him, but remains to be seen whether he'll take it up.
Yeah, this is one that's been rumbling for a while as well. Borna Barisic also linked with Turkey, but as Roger's saying, you know, there's so many Rangers players who will probably move on, you know, due to freedom of contract, just the fact they're not really featuring under Philippe Clement. But I think he would be very wary to lose the core of his squad and guys that are playing week in, week out. Gordon, you know, John Lindstrom, Conor Goldson up until the weekend, and James Tavernier are three kind of linchpins of that Rangers team. So while I do think there will be massive changes at Rangers, I think Philippe Clement will want to keep that core together. And as he said yesterday, there's a contract on the table for John Lindstrom. It's up to him if he wants to sign it. I actually think he probably will stay at Rangers, John Lindstrom. I think he's probably played the best football of his career here, and if Rangers can give him the wage he's looking for, I do think he'll stay.
Well, plenty to look forward to. We can put some of that on the back burner, because we have huge games coming up at 3 o'clock, not only in the Premiership, but that will be our focus today. Will Livy go down? Can Hearts secure third? What can Killy do in the battle nearer the top in the European spot? St Johnstone, Aberdeen, are they safe? Ross County in the mix. Hibs have managerial question marks as well. So much to look forward to, and we will go back around the grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL in the studio. 15 minutes to go until kickoff in the big games round the country. So let's go back round those Premiership grounds. Kilmarnock against Hearts, Roger Hanna. Just to reflect on a piece of team news that you brought us earlier on. Xander Clark back in goal. What are the implications there then, with the Euros in mind?
Listen, it's a really difficult one for Stephen Naismith. They brought Craig Gordon. Craig Gordon was his cup goalkeeper. He had played right the way through the competition, I think, against Spartans, Morton, Airdrie. He was always going to play at Hampden against Rangers last week. To get him ready for that, he was given the game against Livingston, the last Premiership game before the split. I didn't think he covered himself in glory in that game. You remember the two goals he lost from distance to Stephen Kelly very early in the game for Livy. Stephen Naismith brought Xander Clark back in because today he is his league goalkeeper, if you like. He did have a concession yesterday that if Hearts were to win today and secure third place in European group stage football, he might consider giving Craig Gordon the four remaining league games. He's 41 years of age. He looked to me in those last couple of games as if he was a man needing regular football. It will be a big decision for Steve Clark as well. Even if Craig Gordon gets those four games, who goes? Does he take both Clark and Gordon? Or if it's a 26-man squad, which looks as if it might yet be ratified by UEFA's executive committee in the coming days, would that allow him to take all four goalies?
I know what Roger's saying, but I would be astonished if he used these extra picks for a goalkeeper. What's the point in four goalkeepers? Okay, they can train with each other, two and two, but apart from that, there's nothing to benefit from that. He's got to pick his three. I don't think Craig Gordon will be in the Euros. You've heard it here first.
Okay.
I went early.
A man has spoken. I wonder if Kilmarnock against Hearts, Roger Hanna, we are in awards season. Both of those managers in with a shout, or just one of them? What's your take on the jobs that's been done there?
Well, they've both done very good jobs. I said at the top of the show, I thought Derek McInnes is probably really in the argument for it. Tony Docherty, Dundee must be in the argument, bringing a team in to the Premiership and getting them into the top six straight away. Jordan McGlynn at Falkirk, they could be an invincible season if they keep going in the last couple of League One games. But certainly, Derek McInnes must be to the forefront of that debate. It's the 42 SPFL managers that will vote on the manager of the year, and it would be fascinating to see what their peers think of it. And it'd be even more remarkable if Philip Clement wins a treble and doesn't get it, or Brendan Rodgers wins a double and doesn't get it. But with the time the votes are cast, Gordon, I think it's more likely to be a McInnes or a Docherty.
We've actually kicked Fraser Wishart off the show this afternoon so that we can discuss these things without his influence, because you know that he has to stay out of this. He has to stay impartial at this time of the season, Hugh Keevans.
I don't care. He sent me the VIP ticket yesterday, so I don't care
VIP.
Whether he's here or not. What are we rewarding? That would be my question. You know, I mean, good luck to all the guys. You know, Stephen Naismith, to Derek McInnes, and Stephen Robinson, you'd have to include in that, and Tony Dock. But what are we rewarding? Because, you know, there's Hearts, five defeats and two competitions to Rangers.
Yeah, but you would, them finishing third is like as high as they can go in the league. So that's what you're rewarding. You're not talking about a random snapshot of five games. That would be no way to give out an award,
well,
either way, would it?
I'd like to see in that city of Edinburgh some progression towards actually winning something. I know Hibs get the cup in 8 years ago now.
Yeah, votes would have even been in before Hearts got knocked out of the Scottish Cup, though. So it's going to be based largely on their league performance. And if we're accepting that they can't finish higher than third, third's pretty good.
Who are you making a case for, Hugh?
Well, for me, I've gone before and said John McGlynn. I think you have to reward something tangible. And I do understand that the timing of the award rules out Philippe Clement and Brendan Rodgers, who one will be a title winner and not manager of the year. However, that is just a quirk of the voting system with PFA Scotland. But for me, I think you reward the tangible. And I think Falkirk, having the season they're having and probably ending it without any defeats at all, I think the man deserves it.
Okay, but if Hearts, do you think Hearts could ever win our top flight?
No.
So then Hearts can never have a manager of the year then, by your logic?
No. If they win the cup, he could win the Scottish Cup and the League Cup the way that Callum Davidson did.
The votes would be in before the Scottish Cup. How many times do we have to mention this?
Correct. Could win
the League Cup. Tell me specifically then, what are we rewarding if Stephen Naismith gets it?
I think you're missing the point. I don't care if it's Stephen Naismith or not, but you're the one that's presented this logic. So I'm asking you, can a Hearts manager ever win manager of the year then, if the votes are always in before the Scottish Cup and it has to be someone that wins a league?
Well,
so it's quite a straightforward one. Can a Hearts manager realistically ever win it?
Well, if he wins a trophy, League Cup.
So you need to win the League Cup.
Yeah.
So then if it, but what if you combine the League Cup with finishing like 6th, 7th?
Well, at least he won a trophy.
I think with Stephen Naismith, the argument for him is that he has been to Celtic Park and won, and he has beat Celtic at Tynecastle as well. So although there's no trophy in the cabinet, finishing 3rd and beating Celtic twice is massive, albeit they've not laid a glove in Rangers. But that's
therefore
that's
you cannot bring in 2 wins over Celtic. You can't reward two wins over Celtic.
And the rest. If he went through the full season and finished 3rd and got walloped every time against Celtic and walloped every time against Rangers, then I would agree with you. But I think the argument for Stephen Naismith is that's not been the case. He's went to Celtic Park and won, and he's won at Tynecastle against him, and he's finished 3rd, beat the rest, and got to a semi-final. So the argument's where. For me, I said Tony Dock, but I get Hugh's argument. I totally agree with Hugh's argument about John McGlynn as well. He's got to be in the run.
I'm going Derry McInnes all day long. You look at where Kilmarnock were, what, 2 seasons ago? They come up, they finished 10th last year, I'm correct in saying that. They struggled, they couldn't win a game away from home. And all of a sudden, he has turned that in 2 transfer windows, sitting 4th, one of the best squads in the league. Already beating Celtic Rangers, I think Derek McInnes has done an absolute fantastic
it's
job.
It's a tribute to him that Celtic and Rangers are looking at that Kilmarnock fixture. Rangers have Kilmarnock next weekend at Ibrox. Celtic then go to Rugby Park midweek after that. Kilmarnock could decide the title. So that's a measure of the job that he has done. But I have to stand by my own argument here. What are we rewarding?
Well, ultimately, I think history tells you you're rewarding people probably who punch above their weight. You know, Steve Clarke won Manager of the Year without winning anything. Jack Ross won Manager of the Year at St Mirren, or that might have been the promotion season. You go back, Billy Reid won at Hamilton Accies. The managers vote for it, so they look at who's punched above their weight. If it, otherwise, you wouldn't do it. You just give it to the league winner every season, and then it's really simple, and you don't bother even having a discussion.
I would like to know, as I say, good luck to whoever gets it. My feeling is that John McGlynn is a unique case and should get it, but I would like to hear the managerial rationale. Why did you pick
that? That's what it will be. They always say they look at, you know, budgets, don't they? You always hear them. Stephen Robinson said it this week. You look at budgets, how tough a job they've got to do, what they've done within the constraints that that club faces. As an example, Livingston, if Livingston were to finish 4th, David Martindale would probably be Manager of the Year. But by your logic, you say, oh, you can't, because it's not tangible, he didn't win anything. Yeah, but he took Livy to 4th.
Yeah, but
so it's about punching above your weight, usually.
Yeah, but you are introducing another kind of unique example. If there was something extraordinary, and Livy, who run on a hand-to-mouth, two-bob budget, that would be extraordinary if they got to 4th place.
But not
and
tangible, though, according to you.
But it would be almost a tangible sign of what can be achieved under extreme circumstances.
Well, we know who the St Mirren managers voted for, and it shows you their thinking. He's went for Naismith at Hearts.
He said it publicly.
So he's looked at the job that Stephen Naismith's done at Hearts. Look, this is a guy that about 6 months ago the Hearts fans were calling to get him out the door. They didn't want him. And he's dug deep, and he's had a good season. I just look at the overall club, the squad, everything, what they brought, and I think it's very hard to see by Kilmarnock.
But if you're talking your nod, just quickly, Hugh, who'd get your nod, David Friel?
Derek McInnes. Gordon, I agree with everything Gordon Dale said there. I think the job he's done over the last couple of years has been terrific, and I think he deserves it.
I just have to say, I've had a good message in from Quinn. I just imagine the thought of this, just to veer away from the Premiership for a second. Afternoon, Gordon. We're all at Dumbarton FC for Big Tam's head wetting. He's 6'5" and will be walking the team out as a mascot.
Holding the captain's hand.
Can we get a shout out? I will send a picture after, he says.
Yeah. A very tall son of the Rock.
Got to get a picture of him in the tunnel, hand in hand, ready to go out.
6'5".
I remember a mate of mine was mascot at Motherwell at Firth Park, and generally they will be around, you know, kind of, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 even. But he was, we were about 14 at the time. He came out looking like bigger than the players. And then of course this is the other way. People now do it as adults, as like a joke, so to speak. But anyway, we're almost there. It's almost kick off time. Adam Binney, I feel like I know the answer to this question, because if there was ever a fixture that was going to attract a small crowd, it would be Livi against Ross County. I just wondered if there's any buzz around the place at all, given that, you know, this is like last chance to survive sort of thing.
Yeah, Gordon, I think there's a tinge of sadness in the air really here. It's there's not a big crowd, as you say, that never is in this fixture. The only people with a smile on their face, I believe, are kids from a local football club trying to get signatures with some of the players doing their warm-up. But it seems like the fans know that relegation is inevitable, and that today or at some point in the coming weeks, Livingston's sixth consecutive season in the top flight, 6 years, sorry, in the top flight, will come to an end. That's the longest run in the club's history, but I think if they are to be relegated today, they can look back on this time with some fond memories. This is probably the first season of the last six that they've actually been threatened by relegation. The current manager, David Martindale, he's led them to a top six finish and a cup final. Of course, before that, Gary Holt managed a fifth place finish in there too. So they've got some great memories to look back on, and it's been a really successful time, especially when you consider the budget that they're working on, as the manager often likes to remind us. Something that I did want to address or look into was that if Livingston are to be relegated and David Martindale leaves, whether that be he resigns or is sacked or whatever, or in fact even if they just go down and he's no longer in the league and he's still the manager, then Stephen Robinson will take over from David Martindale as the league's longest serving manager, and he was only appointed St Mirren boss just 2 years and 2 months ago. Incredible. But yeah, we know we're already going to be losing the spaghetti heads. Is today the day we lose Livi? And you never know, we might even lose David Martindale. We'll find out all this afternoon.
It's a fickle business, this management game. What's the feeling on the managerial front? Dave Galloway, Aberdeen's incoming manager, he's done a Jurgen Klopp. He's losing every game since he announced that he's coming to the Dons. Is this a case of just absolutely tying up survival and trying to move on quickly to next season for Aberdeen?
Yeah, I think so, Gordon. I mean, it's, you know, just quickly looking back at last weekend, it's very seldom a team gets so much praise after losing a match. Aberdeen did themselves proud against Celtic at Hampden, and their performance coupled with the aforementioned announcement of Jimmy Tilleen as manager, they've certainly raised spirits around Pittodrie. But Motherwell, looking at them, they're keen to continue their fine form away from home, and they will hopefully come here and have a go at the Dons. Remember on the last trip here, I was sitting in the stand that night watching that, and the Steelmen raced into a 3-0 lead after 26 minutes, only for the match to finish 3-3. Hugely entertaining and quite chaotic as well that night. More of the same today in the sunshine here at Pittodrie would be tremendous.
Would tip you over the edge, Dave Galloway. Too much excitement for one afternoon, but let's get cracking then, because the 3 o'clock games are kicking off next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's been a quick old season. Can you believe we're already at the first of the post-split fixtures? Mark Wilson, Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dl are in the studio, and the games are kicking off round the country. So let's take a look. What are we? What's this then? Game day 34. I don't think we've had many ACCAs right in the studio in those 34 weeks. Let's see if we can do better today.
Home win, Kelly, against Hearts. Away win, Hibs at St Johnston. Aberdeen to beat Motherwell. And Ross County win at Livi and relegate poor old Davy Martindale.
Yeah, only one different result in there for me. Kilmarnock to beat Hearts, a draw St Johnstone v Hibs. Aberdeen will beat Motherwell. Ross County will relegate Livi today.
Oh, I will take Kilmarnock, I will take St Johnstone, Aberdeen, Motherwell draw, and I will take a Livi Lions win.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Interested in a career in pharmacy? Apply today to join their team.
And in about 10 minutes you'll find that most of those predictions are out the window. So stay tuned. Don't forget you can stay in touch all afternoon on the platform formerly known as Twitter, at Clyde SSB. Send all your thoughts in. If you've anything to add, anything you want read out, thoughts on the games or any of the talking points, that's where you can find us. And of course later, the chance for you to air your opinions the old fashioned way on the phones as well. I will give you the nod when it's time to do that. We'll look back on today's football. We will of course preview tomorrow's action as well. It is going to be a huge day. It's been a huge day already in the women's game. We had a Scottish Cup semi-final. It finished Rangers 2, Celtic 0 at Hampden. So Joe Potter's side through to the final. The game in the women's side of things is heating up as well, because Rangers were in the driving seat in the title race. Celtic have taken the initiative there, but it is Rangers who go through to the cup final. Chelsea Cornet with the first goal, Kirsty Howitt with the second, and a victory for Joe Potter's side. So they're through to the final. That one was played at Hampden in the sunshine, and hopefully we get some more action this afternoon as well.
Yeah, beautiful day for football. Love this time of year.
Did
when
you?
Oh, without doubt.
2-1.
Into the final fixtures of the season. 2-1. Semi-finals
a
and
man
finals
with your
played.
Complexion. Really?
Yeah.
I was never roasting here. It was different when I went abroad and I played in the sun, and you know, I just couldn't.
Did you like the sun?
No, not at all. Not at all. I remember playing in Chicago one time against Chicago Fire. Remember the boy Blanco that did the trick mm-hmm. with the ball in between. He was
trapped
playing that day.
His legs.
He tried it against us.
Against you,
aye, but I had sunstroke at that point, so he just breezed by me. I was over 100 degrees in Chicago. Oh, I hated it.
Did you hear the caller midweek from Chicago?
No, was there someone on
Chicago?
A man
who went to Chicago at the age of 29 and never came back.
Now, I can understand that.
He's now 63.
It's a long holiday.
63 years
wonderful
old
city.
Now.
Is it?
Can't bring himself to watch Celtic against Rangers.
Al Capone come from Chicago.
Well, he did. He used to cut about there. So yeah. I actually went to his bar. Al Capone's bar.
Ah, was great.
So Blanco was still going strong, because that was the 98 World Cup, wasn't it? He produced that trick.
Aye.
When was this you played?
2000 then. Must have been seven. Something like that. Something ran a bit then.
There we go.
It was a hot day. Couldn't keep up with him.
Well, I'm glad we've got the weather out of the way.
Do you remember that one? You won't remember that, will you?
No. What have I remember?
He trapped the ball between his legs and then like jumped over.
Remember when he jumped between two players? Such.
You know, like trapped. Do you know what I mean? Are we describing this accurately on radio?
Did he trap it in his knees or his ankles?
His ankles.
Right, okay.
His feet, yeah, his ankles.
I'm not impressed with that, are you?
Well, that's the thing. It's not
seen many people standing balls and things. Remember Kanchelskis? Sort of like that.
Yeah, okay.
Only.
I don't suppose it's hugely difficult, but quite good initiative, is it not?
Well, if you get away with it.
To be a reason you don't see it very often. It can't be effective.
He was doing it just because it was his signature move against us, and I felt we kind of let him away with it, really. If it was in a real competitive game, we would have nailed him.
With your sunstroke.
I was all sunburned.
I'd like to see that face.
4-1, Stranraer 0.
Very important that, because if Clyde win, they could go above Stranraer. However, if Stranraer get anything out of that match and Clyde lose, then they are officially in the playoff.
Team 42 would be against East Kilbride, as we now know, because this was the week that it was announced that Bucky Thistle do not have the appropriate licensing requirements to take part in the Highland League versus Lowland League playoff. Mark Wilson, so East Kilbride go straight through.
Yeah, and I said Thursday I thought it was unfair. I get the arguments that everybody should follow the rules, but I still thought there might have just been some leeway there to get their house in order and let them play that game against East Kilbride. However, East Kilbride through, and it must be one of the most dreaded fixtures. That I know myself from being at Brecon and looking further down the road. It was a COVID season and we were looking at playing against potentially Kelty, was coming up at that time. A lot of money spent. Now it's the same with East Kilbride. Who would really want to fancy them? Because if you're at the bottom of League 2, you're at the bottom of League 2 for a reason. You don't have the resources, the finances that these up and coming teams have. I think it's good. The pyramid system is great, but if you're a manager, a Clyde, or you're a manager, Stranraer, you're dreading what's coming.
I wonder about the Bucky Thistle thing, because you know they came down here, played Celtic in the cup, nice financial windfall for them, but they haven't attended to the things that needed to be attended to.
Yeah, but I suppose at the moment it's still a bit of two sides to every story, because their version of events does differ to the SPFL's version of events.
I don't think the SPFL would have debarred them from taking any further part in the playoff process if the SPFL were entirely sure.
I think it's more issues over sort of timing and what had to be applied for when and what grace periods were and so on. And what is interesting it has done to East Kilbride's preparations. Did you see them taking to Twitter to say we're looking for a friendly next Friday, any clubs give us a shout?
Yeah, because they're missed out in two games and they're having to obviously wait to prepare for whoever finishes bottom. I agree with Mark. I think East Kilbride will fancy it big time.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
St Johnston nil, Hibs one, and it is a cracking free kick from Marcondes. He has shown a bit of class at times since he made the move to Easter Road, 25 yards out, top corner. Nick Montgomery happy with that.
Well, the old charisma bypass man will be jumping up a wee bit, but he needs that, and it's bad for St Johnston because they can't take their eye off the Ross County situation. You know, they might be in trouble by 5 o'clock tonight, St Johnston.
Oh, without doubt. We were chatting about it, was it a couple of weeks ago? Was it last week? Who we fancy? I thought, well, it was last week, because I thought Ross County had enough at the top end of the pitch to get out it. I worried for St Johnston, and that's a big goal early on.
Couple of chances at Pittodrie. Stephen O'Donnell's shot saved by the legs of Killaruse. Junior Hoylett's curled one over the bar. Before we get distracted any further, let's do it, Hugh.
Okay.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Quite a lot to digest in this answer, so I'll go slowly. Since 2019, seven players have made an appearance in a Scottish Cup final for a team outside of the Old Firm, and they have also played in the English Premier League at some point in their career. Since 2019, seven players have made an appearance in a Scottish Cup final for a team out with the Old Firm. They have also played in the English Premier League at some point in their career.
I would go as far as to say that is the hardest first half teaser we've had this season. I don't think anyone's getting all seven. There you go. There's your challenge. Call it reverse psychology if you want. Let's see if you can step up to the plate. But I'm not sure someone's going to get all seven. Well, I think that's extremely hard.
I thought that was a good answer.
No, I don't think so.
Did they not win it?
I suppose we could do end of season generosity, and the three people who make it onto the podium would be the three who get the most, correct? Yeah. If no one gets all seven. There we go. That would be fair. Because I do think that is very, very, very difficult. But anyway, challenge has been laid down. Let's go at Clyde SSB. Get your answers in. Ideally, we're looking for one tweet with all seven on it at Clyde SSB. B.
So I started the day with poetry. Now I'm going into cruelty.
Why?
That's a toughie.
All right. Okay.
It's hard to think who was actually in the finals. You know,
Well, we've got a couple.
You've got a couple already?
No, teams that were in the finals.
All right. Okay.
I'm just working out the players that played.
The jigsaw. Piece of jigsaw together.
I'm not really in the mood for a jigsaw this afternoon.
A bit jaded, are we? A bit tired. The sun's got to you this morning.
I think it got to me last night. I've got to say,
a late evening.
It was a brilliant evening. Got to say,
and a nil. Falkirk won. Your man,
Invincibles.
Your manager of the year candidate, Liam Henderson, has scored.
You should be winning, Annan, but you know that's what champions do. They just keep on rolling.
There should be a special mention or a special programme or a special award, should I say, for the Falkirk one who wasn't nominated for the Player of the Year.
That's a sick one.
Ross McKeever.
Yeah. I mean, how bad are you feeling?
Play centre forward? Where does McKeever play?
Imagine in the dressing room. Imagine
the boys. Attacking player, yeah.
Yeah,
imagine
attacking
the boys saying to you.
There's 10 of us.
All picking up their medal, team of the year. Where's your medal?
Oh, you drive the minibus.
So harsh.
He's a minibus
Get
driver.
Get the keys
right?
in, would you, mate?
Yeah, you're a minibus driver on the night. The rest of us are going to celebrate.
Oh, Hugh, as usual, change that to 8 on your teaser. Oh,
my goodness.
We're ending the season just the way we started it, by making a pig's ear of your teaser every single week, which is just fantastic.
You need to do some more research, Hugh.
He's missed one. Poetry.
I'm busy working on my poetry.
Yeah, your poetry was brilliant, but it's all about the teaser.
I said it was hard already. Now we're looking for eight of those. Wow. Incredible. Very difficult.
I had to watch my iambic pentameter.
You could change it to 8, or here's a wee clue, right? You could do 6 Scots. Up to you. I'll let you decide. But we do 8, we go 6 Scots.
Listen.
Let's do 6 Scots. Okay. Right, that makes it more. I think that makes it more doable. Okay. Since 2019, 6
in my nap.
Scottish players have played in a cup, Scottish Cup final for a team out with the old firm and have also played in the English Premier League. Fairer, I think, okay?
Okay.
Let's rephrase it to that. If you're in any doubt, if you're as confused as we are, head over to Twitter at Clyde SSB and you will see that question written down and you can hold us to that, I think. Yes. With M&D Green Pharmacy. Livingston 1, Ross County 0. Livy fight on to try and stay in the Premiership, and it is Bruce Anderson. They have been the better side. It looked like it had been coming, a deserved opener. It was a Ryan Leake headed back pass. It fell short. Anderson latched onto it, lifted it over the goalkeeper, and it's Livy 1, Ross County 0.
Well, fair play to them for showing character. Adam Binney told us there are very few people there, as we suspected there might be, but they are creating their own atmosphere. They're not going down without a fight.
The only thing I'd worry about, did they take the lead early against Hearts, was it, at Tynecastle?
2-0
against Hearts. Yeah.
And then obviously the back door fell in, so it'll be interesting to see how Ross County approach that. I fancy Livingston this afternoon, I said it. I've something about them. They know they're going to be relegated, it's just when they can get out and play with a freedom that they should have been playing with a long, long time ago. So they're off to a terrific start.
Yeah, Livy 1, Ross County 0. We said earlier, didn't we, the English Premier League game, West Ham 2, Liverpool 2, title hopes probably over. Andy Robertson scored, by the way. But it was a tough day. Mo Salah was spotted arguing with Jurgen Klopp before he came on as a sub. And I like this, I just saw a quote appearing on Twitter. So he's walked through the mixed zone, which you'll be familiar with, Hugh. For those that don't know, and I'm sure you do, after big games like that, we don't really have them in league games here, but we have them in cups and internationals and European games. The journalists will all wait, the players will walk through, and you're kind of just chancing your arm. You're hoping they'll stop for you, hoping that they'll give you some thoughts. Salah has walked through the mix zone, declined interview requests, and said, "If I speak today, there will be fire."
I like that.
I get wonderful emotional comfort from Luka Modric once in the mix zone.
Oh,
well, running out of time, you know, deadlines, when you're in the newspaper industry, deadlines are all important. And it was, some guy was taking up too much time with it, and I've exploded. And Luka Modric came over and said, "Hey man, calm down."
Is he from America?
Hold on a minute.
She flew in.
Where's he picked a accent up for?
Well,
give us another go at that.
That's what happens to you when you're a Croatian.
Hey man,
calm
down. He said to me,
he's cutting a bit of Bernabeu with that American accent.
Croatia.
He said to me, "Hey man."
Was it international duty?
Yeah.
Wow.
Calm down.
And did you? Because usually when someone tells you to calm down, it's the last thing you want to hear.
When it's Luka Modric,
he does have that calming kind of air around him.
If it had been David Friel, I'd have said shut up, and we'd have moved on. But it was Luka Modric, and he was reaching out to me.
David Friel says you can't beat foreign players saying sorry, I don't speak English, after getting knocked back in the mix zone. Yeah. You see all sorts, don't you? Who was the one that held his? Diego Costa, was it, held his passport up to his ear to pretend he was in the phone to avoid everyone. I'm sure I've seen someone hold a shoe up as well. Is that not a famous one? No,
I heard. Was it Chris Sutton? I heard a story. Chris Sutton did that.
Celtic
Park one time. Held a
shoe up to his ear.
Thierry Henry told me that. It may not be true, just in case.
Who was it? School
Chris has tuned in.
We beat France.
Gary Caldwell. Thierry Henry spat the dummy all over the zone, didn't he?
Potty. And shouting, "I see you in Paris, I see you in Paris." And then of course,
how did that work out?
Aye. How James did that work out, Thierry?
Faddy had other ideas. Arbroath 0, Queen's Park 1, Dom Thomas with the goal there.
Captain leading from the front. They need that as well, Queen's Park, because they've slipped down. So they need the 3 points. And
quite tight at the bottom as well. Inverness sitting there. Who are they playing today? Who have they got? Inverness. Thanks for helping me, boys.
Come on. Come on, you. Stumfermline away. You should know that.
Yeah, the big bars one. Away.
But there was a time that Queen's Park looked like they were okay. When Calum came in, he looked like he steadied the ship. He brought an experience throughout the spine of the team. And then, a poor run has led them to that ninth place. And
I've got a derby today, boys, in the Championship.
What derby?
Thistlenair.
Of course, yeah. You're
legend of course clubs.
Yeah, Thistle only need a point to confirm third place. So, good luck to them. I think they'll get that today. Know what that's worth? Third place.
What?
£75,000 more. in payment, yeah.
Which is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
That's your wages.
I'll pay half my wage.
That could boost some of your salary.
Oh, four for two up in Stranraer,
you know? Oh, yes, yes.
Are you?
Yeah.
You on a lot of reddies?
Oh, those Thistle fans will be chopped out. I do it for free. I do it for the development of the players.
I used to spin that one at Wraith.
Ricky's pointing out it was Thomas Muller that did the passport to the ear trick. I stand corrected. It was some European football
we'll
heavyweight.
We've seen him in a few weeks' time, won't we?
Yeah.
We get to hang about the mix zone? No? Or are we not allowed anywhere near there?
We'll even be allowed near the stadium.
We're not even in Germany, mate.
We'll be surely.
Will we go and watch training of just someone?
Yeah.
Anyone.
We'll be out about in the city, meeting the people, hanging with the fans. People.
We'll be in the beef eater.
That's good. The old Tartan Army are good fun, aren't they, when they're away?
I'm taking a kilt.
With the locals.
I'm taking a kilt.
You got your jammies looked out yet, both
I'm
of
going,
you?
I'm taking a kilt. I've never worn a kilt, but I'm going with a kilt.
For your jammies?
No, to get out and about.
That's a great shout.
I'm blessed.
By the way, kilt up, I'm blending right
now. You too, can I?
Oh, we?
You too, can
I? I've got the legs for it.
I've not got the legs for it, but I'm going for it. I don't care.
I don't know if I've ever seen your legs.
Do you know what
before?
That means?
I'm there to be
somebody
insulted.
Somebody has got in touch and said they'll give him a free kill. That's basically what that means.
I honestly, they haven't. But if MD's listening, I think that's a great idea. If you want a bit of promotion,
you're the guy that said you weren't even taking luggage. What are you going to wear it the full time?
Yeah, that's all I'm wearing.
You missed this, Hugh. Money bags over here, acting like a billionaire. Genuinely, with the Euros in mind, said to Mark and I, "Are you taking luggage?" Well, 12 days out in a foreign, like, what's the alternative? And he said he wasn't taking any luggage. He's just going to go there, buy cheap clothes, and bin them before he leaves. Have you ever heard a man come up with so many daft ideas as him?
Also, have you ever gone shopping in Germany before?
Yeah, there'll always be a place for cheap gear.
Why not just take it? I cannot understand this. What's up with a case? A bag?
That's a pain in the backside, right? I used to do that in Spain. See, when I went with, I used to go to Spain, get all the cheap clobber over there, and just bin it.
You know
back
what?
On the plane.
See, when you think about it, it's not a bad
idea, mate.
On day one,
shorts and t-shirts.
Day one, if you just find a shop and you just, and it saves you lugging your case about, and the price you pay for a case now. On the plane.
And then when you come home, you have no washing.
He's no paying for the case, is he?
Aye, I know. I was on Charlie McGrew's stag do, and Paddy McCourt was feeling a bit worse for wear on the airport running the way home, and he had his case full of stuff and pulled up at the airport. He said to the taxi driver, "Here, mate, just keep my case, I don't even want it." He gave his case to he was that hungover.
No way.
I swear it's a story that follows him about all the time. He was that hungover that he couldn't be bothered wheeling his case about the airport. He said to the taxi driver, "Just you have it."
Love that.
That's quite something, right? Keep the answers are now coming in on the teaser, Hugh. I think people are getting the gist of it. So we're looking for, since 2019, on you go, six
players who have made an appearance in a Scottish Cup final for a team out with the Old Firm and have also played in the English Premier League at some point in their career. Who are they?
And they have to be Scottish, of course.
Yeah, so
2019, six Scotsmen have played in a Scottish Cup final for a team outside the Old Firm and have played in the English Premier League at some point in their career. Keep your guesses coming, please.
Got one.
Who is it? Let's see.
Yes, Hugh.
Yeah,
correct.
I think so, yeah.
In amongst the talk of Gordon Dale's underwear and what he is or isn't packing, you missed a VAR check for a handball in the Motherwell box, but nothing doing there, so on we go. So not, I know it feels like every handball check ends in a penalty, but not on this occasion. Still Killy nil, Hearts nil as well. Danny Armstrong causing one or two difficulties down the right hand side, as he has done all season.
He's had a terrific season.
He won Killy Player of the Year.
Did
you
he?
Think? No, will he? Because it's Player of the Year awards
been done.
In club. Did he win it?
I don't know, but
I see Miowski won the Aberdeen one.
I'd be very surprised if he didn't. Goal scorers always win it every year. I won it 9 years in a row at Raith Rovers.
Nine years in a row.
It was the most boring.
Nine
in a row every year.
What's the point?
The 6'5" mascot at Dumbarton, incidentally, is a failure. They're a goal down already.
To Elgin, yes, they are. Edinburgh City nil, Stirling Albion 1, Dale Carrick with the goal, Kelty nil, Montrose 1, Blair Lyons with the goal. So keep an eye on all the moves that can be made in the lower leagues, because it is getting to that time of the season. Edinburgh City down already, Stirling Albion looking to avoid the playoffs. And we'll keep an eye, keep the answers coming in on that teaser at Clyde SSB. Do you know what, a tweet I got last night which made me laugh. So were you out and about last night, were you?
Oh no, somebody see me, somebody spot me.
City sent.
Listen,
a man of your standing in the local community,
do you know something?
You can't go out on a Friday night, yep, in Glasgow City Centre and expect people not to
report back
to me.
Do you know what I've realised, right? Honestly, I'm famous, right? I have no everybody. I was at Kevin Maguire's concert last night. I've got to say, Kevin, if you're listening, absolutely brilliant. You were out of tune a wee bit, but you got it back. You held it together. It was superb. One up and coming star this boy's got to be. Anyway, I was
get a taxi up the road after it. How'd you get back to Motherwell?
I got a taxi back, yeah.
How much?
54.
Do you phone a
plus tip?
Do you phone Rolls Royce?
Do you phone Redline, or do you get a local?
I just got a local taxi. I wasn't. I wasn't.
What was the driver's name? What kind of car was it?
A Ford Mondeo.
What was the driver's name?
Jake.
You definitely get a taxi back, did you?
Yeah, Jake, taxi driver.
Just checking.
Jake or Jackie's? I couldn't understand.
Well, it's easy to get confused when you're lying, I suppose.
Yeah. But I've got to say, I wasn't chancing the train. No, with this fame now.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how famous are you?
Hugh, I'm getting stopped in the street for selfies now.
Anyway, Sean Toogood sent me this, and I just love the subtlety of it, because he's been genuine. He says, met Gordon Dalziel in the Sir John Moore tonight. I don't know what everyone talks about. The man's an absolute gentleman.
Oh.
As if there are people out there that, so that think you're a bad man.
Did people say bad things about me?
They must. Unknown to me. But think
he
about
must
it.
Must have heard that.
Met Gordon Dalziel tonight. Don't know what everyone talks about. The man's a gentleman.
Exactly.
So that you must have a reputation for not being.
Yeah. And the Sir John, is that the one in the corner? The pub in the corner? Just the central station
opposite the Radisson.
Yeah. That's the one.
Where is it?
Do you remember being in there last night?
No.
It was a good night indeed.
I do. What's the boy's name?
Sean.
Yeah, I do remember speaking to Sean.
Sounds very much like you don't quite think
up the road.
I think that was early out then. I wasn't out. I was early out.
Right, okay.
So what kind of songs?
Oh, Wagon Wheel with George Bailey.
I need to know more about this. I don't know what everyone talks about. Gordon Dalziel is a nice guy.
Everybody.
That means that people must be,
I'm hurt.
They must be saying the opposite.
Well,
that must be the word on the street.
People are talking about my back, aren't they? They're going, by the way, he's all right.
He slandered some poor television guy in another pub.
No, I didn't. I was having a bit of laugh.
Let's not go
a bit
on to
of
that.
Laugh.
I think that's probably for the best.
A bit of humour, Glasgow humour.
You're from Motherwell.
That we avoid that.
Motherwell humour.
Oh my word. So Quinn has been back on.
The mighty.
He sent me the picture of
Is there a picture?
The 6'5" Dumbarton mascot. He's the mascot today to celebrate his head wetting. Well, not his head, presumably his child's head wetting. Honestly.
Can you
check that?
That's a good. Lovely
that
photo.
Is incredible, isn't it?
And who's the captain of Dumbarton? Let's hope it's a
big centre half.
No, just his hand in hand between two players leading the team.
No way,
That's brilliant.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, dear me.
Ach, well done, him.
Did you ever do anything like that, Mark, when you were young?
Were
mascot?
No, I would have loved to have been a mascot, but never did get the opportunity.
The demand at Celtic would have been pretty high.
Didn't get the opportunity. Would have loved to have been a ball boy as well, but
What game was you mascot, Gordon?
No, I was never mascot.
Never?
Just ball boy for a couple of seasons.
Tell me something, did you get paid for being a ball boy?
No.
Seriously,
like
mate?
11.
You still get paid. I used to do the papers. Get paid.
No.
That's
just
your job.
Just the sort of.
So it's a ball boy.
A pie and a tracksuit. Probably gave the tracksuit back now that I think about it. But
Queen's Park 2 up now.
Yeah, Killian Sheridan with the goal.
I wouldn't be running about
for nothing at 11 year old.
No chance.
Of course you would.
You're 9 or 10, 11. You're getting into the game.
You've not got an agent demanding.
Not everybody's as cynical as you.
Even pocket money or something would have been nice.
The Wii fans would
actually do the papers.
Yeah.
Did you? The Wii fans would sometimes throw money at you so you could try and collect that.
There you go. I was the worst paper boy in the world, man.
What papers did you deliver? Evening Times?
No, Daily Records, Sunday Mails, all that kind of. But I honestly, I couldn't do it. Couldn't carry the bag.
That doesn't surprise me.
And then I got all the addresses wrong. I was horrific. And then I became a milkman on the floor. Right, I was a
bit. Why does this
Archie was my milk driver, right?
Confessions of a milkman. And that's enough film.
But here, I could carry 6 bottles of milk.
I bet you right?
Is anything he says true though? I can't keep
up. There's a way of doing it. Put it in your fingers, right? 3 there, 3 there. Archie would put them in, and away I'd go, right? 2 at number 14, 1 at number 16, and right. And
right, hold on. How would you, if you had 6 bottles of milk,
3 and 3,
right? How do you put one in?
Quite easy, just put them down there.
Glass
your fingers,
bottles at glass the time, bottles, suppose,
glass bottles, right?
And you need then, Chris to get 6 glass bottles
Thursday,
of milk to put this to the test.
Thursday used to go round, chat their door and say, milk money. And they would give you a wee,
wee bung.
It was great job. The 6 bottle man, they called me. Me and Archie.
Anyway, Edinburgh City have equalised against Stirling Albion. The Dumbarton mascots having a mare. Elgin City are 2 up there.
It might bring them on at this rate. Get on, big man. Centre half.
Shore things up a bit. It's entirely possible.
Rags to riches.
Right, still Killy nil, Hearts nil. Derek McInnes and Stephen Naismith, they're both out in the touchline barking orders, trying to get some motivation into their team. St Johnstone nil, Hibs 1. The Mercondes free kick separates the sides. Goalless Aberdeen Motherwell and Bruce Anderson showing that at the moment still a bit of fight left in Livy. They lead Ross County at home.
Wonder what the future holds for those Livy players. You know, guys like Bruce Anderson, who's been around the block a long time, but when Livy go down and the finances diminish even further, what does their squad look like? You know,
well, Davey Martindale said during the week that he anticipated 15 players would be going in the summer. 15.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I think Livy will find it very difficult to come
to back up.
Yeah, I do. I think they're in a bad place now. They'll lose, obviously they'll not be able to pay, they'll be paying championship wages. They've not got that much money, so.
And there are court cases pending as well that will be never a help, and take money out of the club rather than put it in.
Yeah, it's not a good sign, but at least they're still battling on. They're still
David Martindale will stay, because when he and I spoke in front of an audience, he told me that he will stay. Relegation, he will take it upon himself to try and get Livy back up again.
Don't get me wrong, I think he's looked in the mirror and had a great debate that he was not getting sacked, and he's made that decision that he's going to stay. who would actually sack David himself?
Might just decide enough's enough though, no?
Nah, he loves the game too much, David Martin. Yeah. I've got a lot of time. People that don't know him, he's unlike people that are saying bad things about me, David Martindale's a lovely gentleman.
But you're asking why ball boys don't get payment. I mean, this is why.
I think it's only fair, Hugh. You're doing a job.
Not so long ago, he was linked, or did St Johnstone ask permission to speak to him before Craig Levein came in? Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's right.
You just wonder if Davey regrets at the minute not pushing that forward and saying he would like to speak to St Johnstone. Probably just because of how stable St Johnstone are as a club. I know.
I bet you could get. Listen, don't take St Johnstone. You could get 2 teams relegated in one season.
Palmerston Pep's a goal up. We can all rest easy.
Oh, you have Wednesday off, Hugh. All
right.
He needs it. Still plenty of time for it to go wrong.
That's normally one of my replies.
He's safe, is he not? Is he safe?
No, no. He's in it. He's 3 points off.
Ah, you'll be all right.
If he gets a win today, he's fine, that's him.
He'll be okay.
No tracks out in
the charity shop.
It was Jordan Houston who scored the goal for the Palmerston Pip. So they do indeed lead 1-0. Still waiting on a breakthrough at Rugby Park, Killian Hearts.
Nothing happening at Pittodrie. All quiet. It was a thrilling game the last time, wasn't it?
Three
up by this time, were they not?
But when you consider Aberdeen last Saturday at Hampden against Celtic, I mean, the real spirited performance and you know, I'm a little surprised because we're a good crowd at Pittodrie's today.
I've actually had, you know, various other sightings of you, and Stephen Hill wants you to confirm that it was you buying red wine in Annie's Land Morrison's the other night.
Correct.
There you go. I mean, that's already to be had.
Well, that's just an ordeal.
Morrison's Annie's Land would close if I didn't go in there.
Yeah.
Right, come on then. We really could be doing with more goals, Killian Hearts, just to try and gee us up a bit. Hearts, they'll be hurting a bit, Gordon, after the performance last week. I mean, like, you know, you go into that game as underdogs and then you don't win it, so it's never going to be like a huge story. Rangers should win that fixture more times than they don't. But, you know, Hearts, they'll have regrets because they got into areas and then just didn't manage to make them count.
Yeah, they were terrible in the final third, I've got to say. They were better in the second half. You're looking at a Rangers team that come off two poor results. A little bit of pressure was added to Rangers and the fact that obviously they couldn't afford to lose the semi-final against Hearts. But Hearts offered, first half to me, they offered nothing. I think there will be regrets because they've got good players, they've had a good season, they just didn't live up to the bill.
There was a check for a Livingston penalty. Ooh. Bruce Anderson went down, it did look a bit soft, and the check confirms that, so no penalty. There's one to just maybe keep an eye on. Bristol City 1 Rotherham 0, Tommy Conway with the goal. If the Scotland squad goes to 26, if Stevie Clark's looking for another striker that's had a good season, would it be logical to go to someone who's in the Scotland under 21 squad already and has scored a fair few in the Championship for Bristol City this season?
The Championship's a real good level. Yeah. You know, it's not as if he's playing junior football. Yeah, so yeah, we could be doing with an alternative to Lauren Shankland.
Well, I mean, Lyndon Dykes and Shea Adams are nailed on. I saw Lyndon Dykes scored last night, actually, as well. That'll be Tommy Conway's 12th of the season, Mark. He is only 21, you know, playing in the Championship at your old club, of course, as well.
Oh, yeah, mole stomping ground. I do think it's a position that needs a wee bit of inspiration. I think we've seen Dykes and we've seen Adams enough, and Shankland, we can all agree on.
I think just if it was 26, you know, if it's 23, realistically, I don't think Tommy Conway makes it, but maybe.
Well, like, we all love, everyone loves a young player coming through the ranks and being promoted to the national team, especially in that striker position where heroes can be made instantly. Now, imagine he gets in and he gets some game time and he manages to score a goal, then his life changes overnight. Yeah. Might be a wee bit of a stretch at the minute, but he certainly put himself in the frame.
Interestingly as well, in the same game for the same team, Ross McCrory, remember him? He's playing right wing back again today.
Mm-hmm. We're struggling down that side.
It's either Ross McCrory or Mark Wilson at this stage, unless Aaron Hickey does make it and some others.
See, if I was using the extra players, I would be looking at probably wide players. I said that earlier.
Yeah, but that's the thing though, the right wing back issue might... We might not even be talking extra space. Even if it's 23, we might have issues there with Aaron Hickey and Nathan Patterson.
Yeah, that would be a massive blow, especially Hickey.
I think by the sounds of it, he's going to be
He's not played that
available,
football,
but
he
won't have played.
That's the problem. Less adrenaline gets you through the games. Obviously, that would happen.
Is there a scenario that we find one of just the current crop, a midfielder, then filling in? Because what's the point?
Though, because that's as Gordon says, that we don't have even wide. You know, if James Forrest was in the squad, you might stick him there. It might be fine.
Yeah, but what's the alternative? Anthony Ralston's in there at the minute. Now, Anthony Ralston doesn't play football. You know, for Celtic, he gets odd minutes here and there, but he's in the squad. So does he just automatically go in, or do we play somebody that's playing at a high level every week? But a midfielder.
But genuinely, which one though? Because they're all so central, aren't they?
I know. I know that. I'm thinking, you know what? Instantly, I'm thinking McTominay, but you take away his
right wing back.
I know. But you take away his threat going forward. I know. But I'm just thinking who would be more able to adapt. He's played right centre back. He's got that fitness. He's comfortable in the ball that you need to be. I know it's out there. But do you take a Stephen O'Donnell and a Ralston? I don't think you do. Ralston will be there, but I don't think then you go back to O'Donnell. As McCrory, I don't know.
Big goal for Clyde. The one up.
Clyde one up, and he's Fife Martin Rennie with the goal. Remember, that's the race to avoid getting relegated out of the SPFL or certainly avoid the playoffs. Steve Clark was at QPR to watch Lyndon Dykes last night, incidentally, if you saw him getting among the goals.
What a pounding they gave.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean,
who did they beat last night?
Leeds 4-0.
4-0 Leeds?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Second top Leeds. Second top and worried lead.
No, didn't see that coming.
Lewis Mayo has been booked for a challenge on Kenneth Vargas. That's about as exciting as it's getting at Kilmarnock at the moment. No real chances, not much closer to a goal, it has to be said. Stephen Kingsley did fire it across a couple of moments ago, but didn't really come to much. There was a bit of a drama, mild drama, for Hibs. There was a free kick on the edge of the box, and they then went to check if it was inside or not. So remember, in that instance, the penalty would then just be given. The ref wouldn't be asked to go over to the monitor, because it's just a question of in or out, a factual decision, as they say. But it was outside. Marcondes again, this time over the bar, so not got the same magic in his boots as they did in the first attempt at goal.
But at least it's something for them that they are a goal in front. As I say, we had the debate on Nick Montgomery. I don't think any of us can save him, but he would certainly require to come out of Perth with all 3 points while the debate goes on.
They seem to like to change a manager, Hibs, don't they? They're all over the place. They're even talking
about,
they
make bad choices, though.
They're talking about bringing in someone above Brian McDermott as well.
Yeah.
I don't see what their structure is. I have no idea what they're
looking good today, for what it's worth.
Are just, they? Look, I know that he's not had the greatest season, but I do believe that Hibs, with decent defenders in the summer, could be a decent team next season.
There's the best chance of the game at Rugby Park. It was George Grant. Will Dennis saves to deny him. It's not had loads of chances, so the bar was set pretty low, but that was the best opportunity of this game so far.
And I'm not surprised at that, really, because you look at these two teams, Hearts pretty nailed on for third, and when you crash out the cup in the fashion that they did, the players' minds are probably wandering already to the end of the season now. Probably the exception of Xander Clark, Gordon and Shankland to
Cammy Devlin hits the bar as well, so Hearts are getting a bit closer.
Yep, but look, the disappointment will still be there with Hearts, no doubt about it. Very little to play for now, apart from those players I just mentioned for the Euros. So I didn't think there'd be much action there at Rugby Park today.
Yeah, well, it is a bit cagey so far, but as we reach that sort of 37th minute mark, maybe a bit beyond, it looks like the away side are the most likely at the moment. That's a couple of chances in quick succession.
Yeah, a good game down there. First goal will be so, so important. You know, two teams that have had two terrific seasons. The manager's doing very well. So I'm sure anybody at that game will be looking for some goals, but they're certainly getting some excitement. I'm going to give clues out there to people in the quiz. I'm sure we've just been speaking about one of the answers.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have.
Yeah. There you go, Hugh. I'm on the ball.
Stenny 1, Bonnie Rig Rose 0, Gregor Buchanan. Sten Hushmere, of course, already wrapped that title up.
But Bonnie Rig Rose could yet come into the playoff conundrum. They're above Stranraer by 2 points. Not out the woods yet.
Yes, at that stage of the season, gets a bit nervy for lots of teams involved. You can see hopes going up in smoke like we did earlier on with Liverpool down south. We've got enough on our plate up here, it has to be said.
Well, when you see Virgil van Dijk on the verge of tears, as he was at full time, you know that they know the jig's up so far as Liverpool are concerned. No title for them.
It's amazing to think that they were going for the quadruple at one point and then they just collapse. Yeah. But it goes to show you it can even affect the top players in the world. So when we think about our teams up here and think they'll just sail through every game, it's different when the pressure's applied and you know you're almost at the finish line and you start second guessing passes and a couple of strange mistakes start creeping in. That's what this time of the season does for you when you're contesting a league championship.
Let's remind ourselves of the teaser, please, Hugh.
Okay, can you tell me the six Scottish players who've made an appearance in a Scottish Cup final for a team out with the Old Firm and have also played in the English Premier League at some point in their career?
outside the Old Firm. Some people are missing that point. Some people are missing the fact that it's Scots only. So as an example, Robbie has thrown in Kieran Tierney.
No.
Very much for an Old Firm team, for Celtic, yes. So they don't count. The same as Gordo Dunk. Wow, my name. He's gone for Alan McGregor, but that would have been for Rangers.
Correct.
So, you know, that doesn't, these are not on the list. I can see lots of you getting really close, some nailing it all together. Graham Wilson wants to throw in our pal Andy Halliday.
Played for Rangers.
Well, no, he played in the final for Hearts, but never no English Premier League appearances. Graham Wilson also throws in Jamie Walker of Hearts. It's not on your list, is it?
Nope.
Okay, and various shouts. Amphi Rapport wants to go for John McGinn.
Not there.
He was my first one. I had to score out.
Why is he not there?
Why is he not
2016,
there?
2016, was it?
Oh, of course, there we are. Yeah.
The Palmerston Pep 2 up.
Is that when Hibs 2016?
Yeah, 8 years ago.
You mentioned it earlier.
Hold on, David Gray's header.
Yeah.
If you want a clue, they're actually all Hibs and Hearts, now that I look at it.
Yeah.
Didn't really expect that, but they're all Hibs and Hearts players, if that helps you.
Where's
in
the
any way.
Time going.
I know. Tell me about it.
I was at that game.
Yeah.
Good to see you. That's
unbelievable. Yeah. I've no age.
Did you mention the Dunfermline goal? Did I miss that in amongst the?
They're 1-1-0.
They are.
I've no age. My sister was over from New York midweek, and they'd spotted you at the Carrick playing golf.
Did they?
They were there. They were there.
Hold on. At what hole? Because we had a bit of drama.
Yeah. I hope they didn't spot us at the 17th.
17th, exactly.
Did they?
Yeah, they need an umbrella.
I thought they would have
spotted you at the 17th.
I thought they'd have said hello. But
no, they spotted you from a distance. Ah. And you know, my sister, who doesn't watch a live stream or anything like that, just hears the voices. But the last time I think she saw a picture of us together, you had
brilliant.
And he says, I've seen a guy with white hair. I said, that's Gordon Dale. She's like, no, we had to get two pictures because I was out for dinner on Wednesday. I had to get two pictures and say, there he is there and there he is now. So and to be fair,
She says I'm handsome.
She says
now.
Your head's better now. The top of your head.
I like your sister. Where's she from?
She's from Glasgow.
Yeah, but she's living somewhere in America, you know.
New York.
Yeah, she's
sorry.
Brooklyn. Yeah. We're on our way home just
now. Safe journey.
But it was amazing. She says, how did that happen? So I had to go into the story that one, the end of season.
It's quite easy to understand brown. How it happened. They just stopped dying his
no,
hair.
No, I did not. I just went natural.
Or then I said he maybe dies at this colour.
Weeks.
I was, no, I don't. It's the sun. It just goes natural. That's my natural hair that's coming
brown.
Through.
Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Maybe that Hibs statement did light a fire under Nick Montgomery because they lead 2-0 now at St Johnstone. And it's the experienced head of Paul Hanlon. Hasn't always been part of the first team this season, but terrible defending. St Johnstone don't clear. A low finish from Paul Hanlon. And it's St Johnstone nil, Hibs 2. That shakes things up a bit.
Well, and Ross County should look at that scoreline and get a move on against Livy, because they could damage St Johnstone today. But they're losing to Livy, and it's getting tight down there.
It's getting very nervous, I've got to say that.
Surely not another 2-2 on the cards though for Hibs. I know
they're
the specialists,
they love a 2-2,
surely,
don't they?
I wouldn't say so.
Does St Johnstone have that
one
in them?
I truly believe they don't have it in them. And then, you know, however these next few games go, you then look at Craig Levein and you go, was it the right appointment? You know, I think everyone was split in that one, or a lot of people were split, saying, no, it was too old school, what would Craig add? And then others were saying it was a safe pair of hands, he knew how to operate, and he got a bit of a tune out of them right away, but it's went the other way now. And if they go into that playoff, I think whoever finishes in the playoff position coming up the way will fancy themselves against St Johnstone.
I'm about to draw the line under the first half teaser, so just quickly, James McGrory wants to throw Stephen Fletcher's name into the mix.
He's not there.
Right, okay. We will announce the winners in the not too distant future. We'll maybe do it during the half time break. Oh, Hugh, are you taking the award away? Annan have equalised against Falkirk.
Oh, Willie Gibson.
No. Willie Gibson penalty.
He's
still
older
than
me, is he not? He's been a manager.
Well, some people don't retire in their early 30s.
Well, some people have knees.
Yeah, was it Queen of South, wasn't he?
He was Queen of South manager.
Yeah. He was. Dante Pulvara from just outside the box shoots over the bar for Aberdeen.
Rapovaro was good last week, wasn't he?
I can't take the award away from John McGinn. He just needs to stay invincible. A draw would retain the prospect of that being the case.
To be fair, it used to be in the awards that every manager throughout the leagues won their league, got manager of the year. Well, manager of
just
division.
Lacks imagination, that.
Yeah, I'm no
one. Wait, when did that stop? When did that?
I was the only one.
The trend.
I was the only one that never got it.
You know what?
But
I
it's a
wish
joint
I was
manager
there
award
that
now, isn't it? The managerial award is across all the divisions.
Yeah.
I wish I was there that
Mate,
night.
I was
to see you like Dick Campbell.
Oh, I was.
Bet you were going round the tables, going, "Yeah, got my speech. It's been a great season, boys.
Oh, won the league."
Oh. Blair Spittles had a header saved easily by Kelleherus. We've got our first half-time whistle. It's at Livingston.
Yeah, half-time at the Tony Macaroni Arena. It's Livingston 1, Ross County 0. We all thought that today would be the day that Livingston would finally be relegated to the Scottish Championship, but it's looking like that might not be the case. Bruce Anderson put the Lions ahead after 12 minutes. Ryan Leakes headed back past to his goalkeeper was short, and Anderson latched onto it before then lifting the ball over Ross Laidlaw in the Ross County goal. Anderson nearly had an opportunity to double his and his side's tally a few minutes later. Daniel Mackay's right-footed low cross from the right of the box was cleared at the front post by Ryan Leake to prevent an Anderson tap-in. Donkiwi's Staggies have only really had one sight of goal. A misjudged header from Livy defender Ayo Obalai was intended for Shamal George, but it was met first by Josh Sims coming in from the left-hand side. But there was Shamal George quick out from his goal to produce the save. County then started to take control of this first half, but Livy nearly caught them on the break. Daniel Mackay's effort after a Bruce Anderson cutback was tame though and easily saved by Ross Laidlaw. Livy are playing well. Is this a team playing with the freedom that perhaps comes with a club who feel like their season is already over, or is this a side who actually still believe that survival is possible? Maybe, just maybe, we are seeing the beginning of a Davy Martindale miracle. Half time, Livingston 1, Ross County 0.
And it's also half time at Pittodrie. Here's Dave Galloway.
Half time, Aberdeen 0, Motherwell 0. Early chances carved out at both ends for Motherwell. Stephen O'Donnell's shot was saved by the legs of Kelleherus, and Junior Hoylett's curling effort went over the bar for Aberdeen. Jack McKenzie crossed to the back post, but Boyan Miovski couldn't connect properly despite his acrobatics, and Georgie Gent's cross was headed just over by Blair Spittle. Both sides having a go, playing some nice stuff, but neither keeper seriously tested in this opening period. Into added time, and Dante Polvara nearly put the hosts ahead, but his full-blooded drive just cleared the crossbar. There was still time though for Blair Spittle to have a chance with a header, but it was easily saved by Kelleherus. It's been a decent first half, some decent entertainment, some nice football, but the match really hasn't quite caught fire yet. Hopefully we'll see the net bulge after the break. At the interval though, it's Aberdeen 0, Motherwell 0.
Yeah, hopefully Dave Galloway gets some more goal mouth action in that second half. Maybe we used it all up when that dramatic 3-3 draw between the sides at Pittodrie earlier on in the season. There was a delay at Rugby Park. Benny Beningame was down getting treatment for quite some time, and just trying to shake off. In fact, he won't shake it off. He's going to be withdrawn just before the break. So that's the delay in that one. Still not finished St Johnstone against Hibs yet either, so maybe we will. Maybe let's just do this right now. Do we have a podium for the teaser, or will we do it? We'll do it during the halftime break. I can see producer Chris scrambling. We could do it during the halftime break. Don't worry, we'll revert to the original plan. But still no other halftime whistles to tell you about. Roger Hanna, of course, is the man watching Kilmarnock against Hearts. That late Benny Beningame substitution is the delay. I think that came within the two added minutes as well, so that'll add on a bit more.
Dave Galloway's used one of the great journalistic understatements there. The game hasn't quite caught fire yet. That's another way of saying it's murder.
Yeah, I mean, it's that time of the season for some, for one or two. The good thing about the split is most do have something to play for. Maybe the Motherwell, can they get dragged in? You wouldn't have thought so, Gordon DL.
No.
So
I don't see Motherwell getting dragged into it, but I would see if Aberdeen lost and the results. To be fair, St Johnstone, Ross County are going brilliantly for Motherwell and Aberdeen. So if it continues like that, then no, they're getting
half time. Rugby Park. Here's Roger Hanna.
Yeah, in interval, Gordon, Kilmarnock nil, Hearts nil, surprisingly one-sided, and only the frame of the goal denying Stephen Naismith. Hearts the lead at the break here at Rugby Park. Kilmarnock started off okay. Matty Kennedy was off target from an angle at the corner of the box after 17 minutes, but once Hearts got on top of the game, there was no holding them back. Kenny Vargas hit the bar after a 1-2 with Lauren Shanklin after 23 minutes. Vargas then dumped by Lewis Mayo, and that earned the first booking for the Kilmarnock centre back. A terrific point blank save by Will Dennis, the Kelly keeper, from George Grant moments later. That was the best chance of the game. But then 60 seconds after that, Cammy Devlin, a curling right foot shot from just inside the box, came back off that crossbar again to deny the Jambos the opener. Devlin had another chance at the back post moments later, but just couldn't get his feet sorted out quickly enough, and that opportunity was gone. Then Joe Wright, the second Kelly defender, into referee Ross Hardy's book for taking down Shanklin on the near side. The only trouble for Hearts, just an added time at the end of the first half. Benny Madingamy going down in the centre of the park, lengthy treatment, he hobbled off with young Macaulay Tate coming on. There was still a chance though, one last chance for Hearts before the half time whistle went, and it was great defending by Mayo inside his own 6 yard box to somehow smuggle away a dangerous low cross from Alec Cochrane. Hearts have been terrific. The only thing lacking is the breakthrough. Kilmarnock nil, Hearts nil.
David Friel says he's got no idea where the added time's coming from, but we are now finished at McDermott Park. David?
Yeah, half time, St Johnstone nil, Hibs 2. We spoke before the game, Gordon, about the Hibs board making their statement last week. Well, I think the players are making one this week. St Johnstone have been awful, but Hibs have been excellent and could have 3 or 4 really. Nick Montgomery's squad took a lot of stick for failing to make the top 6, and they've clearly had a point to prove today, and they're doing it so far. They're ahead after just 6 minutes. Emiliano Marquette Condes putting in an early goal of the weekend contender, what a goal it was. Martin Boyle went down under Dan Phillips' challenge about 25 yards out. Macondes took over. Nobody else was taking that free kick, and you can see why. He curled a stunning effort into the top corner. Dimartan Mitov had no chance. St Johnstone almost equalised immediately when Adama Sidibe, he was sent through, but David Marshall made a good save, but that's as close as they have come. Hibs have been really good. They hit the woodwork on the break. Macondes played in Maizean Maialida, he hit the bar from a narrow angle. Maialida's a big threat coming off that left wing. He won a free kick in the edge of the box after some great skill in 35 minutes. Macondes again took the free kick, this time he curled over the bar, but Hibs just kept creating chances. Martin Boyle, he ran the full length of the pitch almost, certainly from his own half, burst through but tried to be clever with a chip, and Dimitar Mitov saved this time. But Paul Hanlon, on as a sub for the injured Will Fish, did make it 2-0 just minutes before the break with a low finish after some awful St Johnstone defending. St Johnstone fans, they weren't happy, loud boos at half time. They are not happy at all with what they've seen. Craig Levine needs a big reaction in the second half. Half time, St Johnstone 0, Hibs 2.
And we'll do a full round up of the half time scores next.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Halftime scores across the country then. Let's start with the Scottish Premiership as always. At the break, it currently sits Aberdeen 0, Motherwell 0, Kilmarnock 0, Hearts 0, Livingston 1, Ross County 0, and St Johnstone 2, Hibs. No, St Johnstone 0, sorry, Hibs 2, my apologies. Into the Championship, Arbroath 0, Queen's Park 3, Dunfermline 1, Inverness Cali Thistle 0, Morton 0, Raith Rovers 0, Partick Thistle 0, Ayr United 0. In League 1, Alloa 0, Hamilton Accies 1, Annan Athletic 1, Falkirk 1, Edinburgh City 1, Stirling Albion 1, Kelty Hearts 0, Montrose 1, and Queen of the South 2, Cove Rangers 0. In League 2, Clyde 1, East Fife 0, Dumbarton 1, Elgin City 2, Forfar 2, Stranraer 0, Stenhouse Muir 1, Bonnie Rigrose 0, and the Spartans 1, Peterhead 1. In the English Premier League, if you're interested, it finished West Ham 2, Liverpool 2. At the break, it's Fulham 0, Crystal Palace 0, Man United 0, Burnley 0, Newcastle 1, Sheffield United 1, and Wolves 1, Luton 0. Let's do the answers to the first half teaser, Hugh Keevans, if you are ready.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since the 2019 final, 6 Scottish players have played in a Scottish Cup final for a non-Old Firm team and played at the or in the English Premier League at some point in their career. They are Stephen Kingsley, who did it with Hearts and also played for Swansea; Craig Gordon, did it for Hearts and played for Sunderland; Jamie Murphy,
with Hibs and played for Brighton. Stephen Naismith, Hearts, and played for Everton. Christoph Berra, Hearts and Wolves. And Aaron Hickey, Hearts and Brentford.
Good list that. Well done if you got it right. And lots of people did. So the knowledge out there is as impressive as ever. Third place was Gordon M777. Second place, Sideshow Bob. And the winner was Michael Donati. However, a special mention to Jamie McCarry. We're not entirely sure, Jamie. We think Jamie might have even answered first with all the correct answers, but then deleted the tweet, or the tweet doesn't seem to exist anymore. But there you go, fight it out amongst yourselves. Congratulations. We'll have a second half teaser, funnily enough, because the second halves will be coming up next.